You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Because of her unpretentious approach to gourmet food, Nigella Lawson has been called a New Age Julia Child. Her best-selling cookbooks include How to Eat, How to Be a Domestic Goddess, Nigella Bites, and Nigella Express, and she can also be seen on a number of syndicated cooking shows. Ms. Lawson's latest cookbook, Nigella Christmas, is filled with her takes on seasonal dishes like roast goose with pear and cranberry stuffing and Christmas spiced chocolate cake. It's published by Hyperion, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Nigella Lawson back to our show. Hi.
Hello, I'm always pleased to be here.
You and your husband are Jewish. What inspired you to write a cookbook specifically for Christmas?
Well, I was brought up with Christmas, and I think that it's a slightly different... There are different connotations to the word Christmas in Britain, and for us it's the holidays. And, I mean, I'm not observant. I mean, obviously, otherwise that would be a rather strange thing to have done. So... But Christmas, I suppose, is a kind of pinnacle of family time and being together. And Christmas loomed very large in my childhood. I mean, it was perhaps... I mean, a friend of mine who's also Jewish said that the most obvious way her father showed his Jewishness, which is you had to be there for Christmas every year. So I think it's perhaps wrong of me to say it's a secular festival, but it's in England, but it's certainly... is pretty well universally celebrated. And I think that for me what interested me an awful lot is how much it really is a sort of legacy of the pagan era, and by that I mean historically rather than in terms of heathen.
So you're not having the same sort of thing happen in England that's happened here, where we are seeing a kind of emerging, at least in some parts of the secular Jewish community, of Hanukkah and Christmas.
Well, I know, I have heard of that, and there was, I think, an episode of, was it Friends or something, when they had a Christmucker tree. But
a Hanukkah bush.
Yes, quite, but, you know, in a way, it's in Britain, I think, it's there, it's not really, I mean, the Jewish community is probably quite separate. There is, in Park Lane every year, is it a menorah? I don't even know what they're called, a huge menorah that's lit up, but... I think that mostly all the streets have Christmas trees and so forth.
You say that Christmas is about ritual and tradition. What are your usual holiday customs?
Well, my Christmas customs really start late. They start after the 15th. It's always after the 15th of December. And I make sort of some cookies to hang from the Christmas tree. And I started when my children were small. And it was actually quite a deliberate attempt to begin a family ritual of my own, because I, in a way, I suppose the novelty of having a family hadn't worn off, and I enjoyed doing that, mostly because I'm not very good at anything that requires a lot of activity, therefore cooking was good, and I and they enjoyed doing it as well. It involved a lot of sugar, and I've carried on doing that, and as they, you know, now a teenage, it's a relatively small thing to ask them to do. I think they don't want to have too much to do in that sort of thing, but I think that is nice, and I do feel that a Christmas tree can be beautiful. I think there's something, I do still think, as I said in my book, there is a huge pagan heritage, and by that I mean, particularly if you live in a small dark island as I do, that the sense of bringing light into the darkness is enormously important, and so all the twinkling lights or the candles give one a sense, I suppose, of warmth and coziness in what otherwise would be a rather long, bleak period.
You said you start on the 15th of December. When I lived in London many years ago, only the most committed cooks made Christmas pudding, because you have to start it a year in advance. Usually they start the day after Christmas. Are people still willing to think that long-term nowadays?
Well, there are many people who do make their Christmas pudding year advance. I don't, and it isn't really necessary.
Why does it take that long?
I think it doesn't really take that long. I think it was the ritual, and I think it was steeped in so much alcohol, and they would add some, and it would get... I mean, goodness knows what it really tasted like after it had been stored for a year. But I find... I mean, I think you do need some maturing to take place, but I'm quite happy to do mine 3 weeks or a month ahead. I think in the old days, the year itself probably was a lot more austere. than it is now. I think, you know, those of us who live, you know, in the affluent West have a year which is full of, relatively speaking, feasting, so that the Christmas feast itself probably now doesn't have quite the same relevance as it used to, when really you probably were eating turnips for the month before.
But it does involve an awful lot of entertaining for some people. They have a lot of people over. The last time you were here, you talked about the importance of establishing a structure in the kitchen. Is it possible to maintain that sense of order during the holidays?
Well, you know, I think it is difficult. I think you have to write a list. I'm a great list writer, and I suppose the world divides into those who can't abide a list and those who can't live without one. And I'm definitely in the latter category. However, I think...
If I don't take a list when I go shopping, there's at least two ingredients I have to go out for a second time.
Oh, well, I'm the opposite. If I don't take a list when I go shopping, there are probably only two ingredients in the whole shop I haven't bought. That's the thing. I go completely mad. And I think at Christmas you've got to be very strict. And or any time during holidays when you have people over, you've got to be very strict to keep absolutely to your list. Otherwise, a feeling of panic, I think, can take over. But I do think, and I've always felt very strongly, that the rules that hold true in the kitchen are the rules that hold true outside of the kitchen. So that, yes, you need structure and you need a sense of what the rules are, but if you can't break from that and sometimes just go with the flow, then your life is going to be too anxious.
Well, since cooking an awful lot of stuff, as we just went through with Thanksgiving here in this country, can be rather stressful, do you suggest that we avoid the dishes that will cause more stress?
Well, I think certainly there's no point in adding to the stress by cooking things which are, in a way, the province of the professional chef. I mean, I'm not a chef, and I would never attempt to do things which require so much expertise and attention that you actually can't have a life at the same time, because after all, chefs tend to have a brigade of 30 doing all the different steps. So I stick to quite simple food, and I stick to food that can be prepared on the whole ahead.
And chefs usually have an array of stocks that they can choose from. They have a bain-marie to keep food at a certain heat. They have all sorts of slicing devices.
And they can be very bad-tempered as well. So all in all, it's not a route to take. And I think that
You don't want to yell at the people helping you.
What people help me? Yes, nor my guests. And I think the difficulty about taking on too much is that instead of looking forward to seeing your friends, you start resenting them for accepting an invitation.
Or you wind up in a situation where you're in the kitchen all the time and they're having a fine time and you're working like a slave.
I think that's not sensible, but I actually quite like being in the kitchen. And I think that as long as you have people to talk to while you're there, it can be very companionable and as much part of, you know, the pleasure of the sort of whole holiday season as sitting at a table. I mean, I tend always to find an excuse to go back into the kitchen. I quite like that. I find stirring quite calming.
My guest is Nigella Lawson, whose latest cookbook is called Nigella Christmas Food Family Friends Festivities. It's published by Hyperion. And by the way, we have posted a couple of the recipes from the book, Nigella's roast squash and sweet potato soup, and her Christmas spice chocolate cake on our website. We could have chosen one of any number of different recipes. I have no idea why we picked those. But are there certain ones that you could not imagine the holiday without?
Oh, so many. I mean, I think that, for example, I have some chocolate chestnut pots, or chestnut chocolate pots, whichever way you want to say it, which is really a chocolate pot is a French creation, which is like a mousse, only simpler because you're not whipping egg whites. I think actually better because it has a less aerated feel in the mouth and it's smoother. But I add to that some canned chestnut puree. And for me, chestnuts are intensely Christmassy.
And canned is okay with you because my friends and I disagree over canned pumpkin. They'll say, well, it's just as good, but I roast a pumpkin to make pumpkin pie. And I taste the difference.
Yes, I think with chestnuts, it would be very difficult because in a set, I mean, apart from that, there's nothing in them except for the vanilla, sugar, and chestnuts. I tend to get one that comes from France. If it's good enough for them, I feel it's good enough for me. But also because, in a sense, there's a candid quality, and candid with an E rather than honest, to a chestnut puree, which you would be quite complicated to make yourself in a kitchen.
Now, I mentioned pumpkin. One of the recipes here features a rather strange combination, at least when you try to imagine it, pumpkin and goat cheese lasagna.
Oh, yes. Well,
is that something that you've invented?
Well, it is, but I mean, invented, I'm sure. I haven't invented it because these things are... people have the same ideas everywhere, but to the best of my knowledge, I invented it. It's not actually terribly strange. I mean, I think it came from the fact that I once did a pumpkin and feta cheese salad, a roast pumpkin, and there's something about salty cheese with the sweetness of pumpkin. And what I find is that obviously there is always a certain number of people who are vegetarian, and rather than start doing vegetarian options, I think it's often better to do something for everyone that's absolutely delicious and contains no meat.
Are pumpkins common in England these days? Because a number of the things that you have here, pumpkins, cranberries, they are, as far as I'm concerned, American ingredients originally.
Well, they are, though we get French pumpkins in England, which are slightly different. They have more of a sort of beigey taupe skin rather than rather fantastically gaudy orange, and they tend to have a denser flesh. So certainly they are quite common. Cranberries, when I was a child, you could only get cranberries out of a jar, whereas now fresh cranberries are everywhere.
Your book also includes some recipes meant to cure a holiday hangover or cold, like your Cuban black bean soup. You have any recommendations for how to treat the low-key feeling that you get after you eat a lot of turkey?
Well, actually, you know, it's quite interesting. Well, you probably know this, of course. The thing about when you have too much turkey is that you're dozy because it's got tryptophan, isn't it? That's in it that makes you sleepy. I have nothing against that. I mean, I think that I tend to go for a slightly Thai angle afterwards, and I get lots of cilantro and lime and chili into everything because there's nothing like that. So those sort of sharp flavours to wake the palate after perhaps having the more traditional, heavier type of foods.
Now, you have your own cooking shows, but you were recently a guest judge on the Bravo reality show Top Chef. Mm. What was that like?
There's something quite difficult about standing in judgment over people. I felt uncomfortable to a certain extent, but of course, once you start doing it, you're very much absorbed by what you're doing, and so you, thank goodness, lose the ability to look at yourself from outside thinking, what am I doing judging these people? How terrifying. I mean,
Well, you don't get to issue those words, those damning words like, you may leave now. So you're just sitting there
but you contribute.
Tom Colicchio is acting nasty.
You contribute to that. In a strange way, it's fascinating to do because it's quite interesting tasting other people's food in that way. On the other hand, of course, my own view is that cooking really, I mean, this is there for people who want to be chefs, but of course chefs need to be competitive, and there's, I think, probably most chefs are quite conflict driven people, whereas I think the home cook, and I would say that people tend to be conflict averse people.
On the other hand, you are somebody who's sophisticated in both areas. You know how to cook food, and you also know what good food tastes like, and in the end a chef succeeds if he pleases the sophisticated palate.
That's true, but I still think if you had, and there are many chefs that I, you know, think are wonderful, and who make very complicated food. However, if someone said to me, "You've only got, you know, you've got one more meal. What's it going to be?" It would be more likely to be a roast chicken than a, you know, eggplant and phyllo pastry stack.
Weren't you also a judge alongside Michelle Obama on a soon to be aired episode of Iron Chef?
Well, I wasn't a judge alongside her. That would have been nice. But I think I'm sworn to absolute silence on the subject. But
you were at the White House, and we'll see it sometime.
Sadly, I wasn't at the White House.
Oh.
It may be. You never know. A girl can dream.
You've said that you believe in giving food
yes.
as a gift during the holiday
Very
season.
Very strongly.
What would you be giving?
Well, I make a range of things. I make chutneys, which I think are the easiest thing to make. I mean, jams and jellies are very difficult because you have to get the temperature right and they have to set. A chutney, really, you just put whatever, you know, a load of onions and various fruits chopped up in a pan with some vinegar and sugar and cook it for 40 minutes and that's that. And I think there's something rather nice and old-fashioned and I relish that. I also feel...
You relish that? You're making puns now?
I didn't mean to and I thought you might be gracious enough to overlook it. But I think as well, I mean, sometimes I do very simple things, flavoured vodka, you know, all it is really is that I find shopping very, very difficult. I find gift wrapping much harder. My late first husband always used to say that I had this strange ability to wrap up a book and make it look like a bottle of wine. And so that I feel if I've got some pretty glass jars and I can... I think being in a kitchen stirring is much nicer than finding a parking place so you can go and do shopping.
And also...
It's nice to receive.
You've put a certain amount of yourself into the gift and that's always nice.
I think so.
And I'm sure you put yourself into a lot of this book, which is called Nigella Christmas, Food, Family, Friends, Festivities. It's published by Hyperion. It has lots of wonderful pictures in it, which always helps.
A lot of my old junk, too. You know, I collect various bits of sort of vintage china. And so it was very, very good for me, actually, to be able to... Yeah, I enjoyed photographing. I felt rather foolish afterwards because a particular china I've been collecting for a long time, which was, you know, cost hardly anything after I wrote about it, its price shot up, so I felt I'd rather shot myself in the foot on that one. But still, it's if one has enthusiasms, I think it's impossible not to want to share them.
And if you would like to check out Nigella's roast squash and sweet potato soup or her Christmas-spiced chocolate cake, you can go to our website at wnyc.org. Or if you want the complete group of recipes, there is the book, Nigella Christmas. It's published by Hyperion. Thank you so much for being
with
us again.
Thank you.